Welcome to Radio Today Broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
60 Plus is brought to you by Methodist Homes for the Aged. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to another program of 60 Plus. This is Kelvin Glenn from Methodist Homes, your host, and with me in studio today is Ryan Struble, all the way from Cape Town. He's come up to join us in studio today, and Ryan's going to talk to us about the Eden Alternative. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Kelvin. Great to be here.
What is the Eden Alternative?
It's a million-dollar question. People have said, have you started a new religion? No, although I do sound like someone who has sometimes. The Eden philosophy is about changing the institutional way of nursing older people. It's about changing the culture of care. It's about providing a life worth living for older people in long-term care.
Okay. You talk about care. The listener's perception of care is, you get old, you can no longer help yourself, your children decide you can't drive anymore, your children decide that you need to go into an old age home, and your children decide where you're going to go.
That's when you need to shoot your children.
And that's the point, listeners, is that a person may get elderly and they may get to the stage in life that, yes, they shouldn't be driving anymore, or their eyesight's, you know, getting worse, or you may have a stroke, or you may have a physical ailment, or you may have to have a heart transplant. Heaven knows what goes on. We all get old. What is an organization that works with the Eden philosophy? What makes them different, and what would their care homes look like in a typical Eden environment?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to the driving. And I think if you look at the average taxi driver we saw in Johannesburg today, I think our residents are much better drivers. So let's not talk about that. What is an Eden home? An Eden home is where we've recognized that old age is not about eyesight and hips and knees. We can replace those. What often happens through institutionalization is that older people become lonely. They feel helpless because the children decided and they didn't decide. And it ends up with them being bored to death. So the Eden philosophy says, you know, we all have the right to a life worth living. So let's change these hospital-like settings. Let's change it to what we call a human habitat. And a human habitat is not about the curtains and, you know, a jacuzzi and ensuite bathrooms. A human habitat is about a place where life really revolves around authentic relationships. In all the years, it's been 20 years now that I've worked in aged care, I've realized that it's about relationships between residents and staff, between staff members, between staff members and the families of residents. So an Eden home is not necessarily a five-star hotel. On the contrary, it's a place where when you walk in, you can feel that this home is a place where people are seen as people. They're not labeled by their disease. It's not the hip in room 4, or the dementias, or the Alzheimer's.
Or the difficult patient.
It's about seeing every individual as a person with that right, the right to dignity, the right to a meaningful existence. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about the Eden Alternative, think, oh, yeah, you know, that's where they bring in the animals and the kids. And I say, no, you don't bring animals and kids into a hospital. You scare both the kids and the hospital. It's about a place where life revolves around relationships and where children want to come and visit. Grandkids want to go and spend time. Where people can actually give and not just receive. Because when you come to a certain stage in your life and you are retired – and I always think it sounds so much like being retarded. People look at you and see a burden. I mean, the Americans are now talking about older people as the gray tsunami and the burden on society and the care burden on the world economy. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's the greatest asset of a nation is our older people. So the Eden Alternative says, let's see people for who they are and try and create an environment where they are supported to flourish, to really, really see this as a phase in your life that's not just, as Jung said, it's not just an appendage of your youth, but the afternoon of your life should count for something in itself, where people are part of decision making, where they are actually a gift to us in that we can care and support them. And that's where the organizational transformation take place. It's not what we can do for them, but what they do for us. And I mean, you and I walked through a few of your homes this morning, and what a gift to be touched by the smile of a person living with dementia. Mm. It's such an incredible gift. And if our staff start seeing that, you know, we work in their home, they don't live in our workplace, then we start seeing the magic happen. And the magic is that when a person feels that they belong, that they have meaning, that they feel secure in the relationship, that they have a sense of autonomy, it's their home, they make the decisions, then there is growth. Mm. And when there is human life, there should be human growth. And then we see the joy. And yeah, we also spoke this morning about the difference between joy and happiness. And we can provide happiness through, you know, an activity or a great meal. But our real aim is to go much deeper than that for that individual in the care home to find a sense of true meaning. And that true meaning brings true joy.
But Rain, practically, let's be practical now. You've got 100 or 150 residents in one building. Some of them may have dementia. Others have got broken hips. Others are blind. Others are just grumpy. And you may have 10 or 15 or 20 care staff. How philosophical is this? Or can you give us practical examples where this Eden Alternative has actually turned homes around from being institutions to all this lovely, fluffy, philosophical stuff you are talking about? Because it sounds great, but I'm thinking, how practical is it? And adding on to that, when listeners are in the near future, or even when they're now starting to put their names down at waiting lists in future retirement places they would like to live in, what sort of things should they be looking for that is aligned to this philosophy of all this warm and fuzzy, great stuff, which sounds like an Alice in Wonderland play.
You've asked 10 questions in one sentence. So let's go back to the how, you know, 100 residents, 10 staff. It's so interesting that there are always two things that come up. It's the universal excuse. We don't have the time and we don't have the money. And, you know, being in the moment with the resident, whether you are helping that resident to bath or helping that resident to eat, does not take time. It's about being in the moment. There's a wonderful man who's coming to Johannesburg in March,
yes.
Professor Andries Baart from the Netherlands, who talks about presence. In the moment that you engage with a resident, if you can really, really be present, then you care. It's not about how much you do. On the contrary, this is our whole institutional challenge, that care workers think that the more they do for the resident, the better carer they are. And we're saying no. It is about how you encourage the resident to do things for themselves. Then you're a good carer. It's about enabling. Our present system is about disabling residents.
So how do we change that mindset with the residents' families? Because we often get the residents' families saying, and I quote,
I pay your salary.
Yes. So you will bed bath my mother, and you will take her to the toilets, and you will dress her.
It's
a serious challenge for the care staff.
Yeah, it is. And the care staff becomes so despondent because, you know, everyone is always catching them out doing something wrong. I have a lot to say about that. For me, it's about catching people out doing something right. But when families and residents start understanding, and I realized after 20 years of training people, I realized that we trained the wrong people. We shouldn't train the staff. The staff know what to do. The staff, we have the best care workers in the world in South Africa. Because they've got a sixth sense, because they really have a true connectedness to what they do as a calling. Our challenge is to educate residents and their families and educate them around what I call the geriatric giants, that what we see as aging and what the world projects onto older people as aging has actually got nothing to do with aging. That we actually disable people, that we disarm them, that we make them so insecure that they become a care burden. We've just done a survey in 52 homes in South Africa where, you know, it's this old thing of our residents are so frail, they can't do this, they can't do that. And when we actually looked at their assessment of their activities of daily living, we found that 57% of the residents in 52 care homes are actually 100% independent.
Wow.
But the system makes them dependent. 57% are totally independent in what we call activities of daily living. That means they can bath themselves, they can eat by themselves, they can go to the toilet by themselves, they can walk by themselves. They're totally independent, but they move into the care home and the family tells them, the daughter, because she's the one who puts them there and she's got the guilt conscience because she's now living in the house in Hermanus and got granny's wedding ring. You know, she's got so much guilt that she says that thing of, I pay your salary. And granny thinks, oh, I'm pathetic. I can't do anything for myself. And I have to let the staff do it for me. And that's why we create this care burden. It's got nothing to do with aging. It is the institutional monster. And that's where it becomes a burden on the staff. We need more and more professional staff because the residents' risk for falling increase. Their risk for malnutrition increases. Their risk for getting the first flu that does the round increase. And that's got a physiological impact, which in turn has got an impact on your staff turnover, your staff burden, your bottom line, in that you need more and more staff to care for people who actually don't need care.
Sure, we've definitely given us food for thought. Listeners, we're going to take a quick song, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about the conversation that the listeners need to start having about deciding where they're going to live in the future with their families. And let's have that conversation when we come back.
And what they should insist on when they go and look at the next retirement home or village.
Listeners, we'll be back shortly. We're going to take a music break. You're here with 60 Plus today with my guest, Rainer from Eden Alternative. We'll see you shortly.
flowers never die, where friends don't pass you by, say that's my home, where the folks say how do you do, bet they mean it too, where mammy's love is true, yes that's my home. I'm always welcome back, no matter where I roam. It's just a little shack, but to me it's home, sweet home. When the Swanee River flows and the shady pine tree grows, I needn't say no more. That's my home.
Methodist Homes for the Aged provides affordable, secure and caring accommodation and services to the elderly. We offer a wide variety of accommodation options in secure retirement villages, including rental units, life right units, frail and mid-care. We also offer specialised care for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. Plan your retirement now. Contact us on 011-787-0330 or visit www.mha.co.za. At Methodist Homes for the Aged, people are our most important asset. Call 011-787-0330. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back. You're on air with Kelvin Glenn, and we're here on 60 Plus talking about everything retirement. Before the break, we were talking quite extensively about the Eden Alternative with Rainer, who founded or brought the Eden Alternative to South Africa and has been doing it for many, many years. And we were talking about what it stands for and how it is all about just because you get old, it doesn't mean you have to lose all your rights, and how so often the families decide for you. We've heard in society and people talk about it, and so often we see that the family and the person, the elderly person, waits till it's too late and then get shoved into an old age home that the family decide on. Rainer, what is an advance directive? And if you can explain to our listeners what it is, because it's something I believe our listeners should be doing now before it's too late. And because unfortunately so often we as human beings live in denial. We don't want to ever, none of us want to get old, but it comes up and bites you before you even realize it. And then the family make your decisions. Mm-hmm. So how can we empower our listeners today to understand their rights and what is an advance directive?
Yeah, you know, there's that bumper sticker that says, be kind to your children, they choose your place of retirement. And I absolutely, totally disagree with that. I think that older people should rightfully claim their decision making. But as you say, you know, if you're in denial and you know, pray that it's not going to happen to you or think that we are immortal, whatever, that's not going to help you. An advance directive, and we have to distinguish between an advance directive and a living will. A living will is something that says, I do not want to be attached to machines one day. It's somewhere in a file. By the time you've been in an accident or you've had a stroke or whatever, you end up in hospital, it's often too late for a living will. Then, you know, 3 days later, the children arrive from Australia and they say, oh, my mother has a living will. She's on already on life support. And it's a huge traumatic experience to decide, are we going to, shouldn't we, who's going to make the decision, and. An advance directive is about saying, how would I wish to be should I not be able to make decisions for myself, whether it is through a stroke, whether it is through dementia,
just old age.
Old age, whatever. It is something that you do way in advance to communicate. And you know, the simple, simple thing of how do I wish to be? That there is no anxiety, no fighting on behalf of your children or your grandchildren or your daughter-in-law as to what your decisions are while you are compass mentors in how you would like to be when something untoward happens.
But Rainer, it's got to be more than a piece of paper. They've got to start having the conversation.
It's about having the conversation. You know, think with families, it's and now that we're going into Christmas time, you know, this is where these conversations usually take place. Now everyone is stressed. You know, everyone has worked hard. It's hot in Joburg. You know, the traffic is crazy. Don't try and do it over Christmas. Okay. Do it at a time when you're sitting at home on a Sunday and everyone is relaxed and you can start having the conversation. I recently, in fact, 2 weekends ago, had this conversation with my parents. And I said to them, you know what? I, as much as I am a bit of a dictator, you are two adult people. I respect you. I need to ask you, how do you wish to be? And my role is to, as far as possible, support you in that. Because the minute we bring in a lot of emotional stuff around, I did this and you did that, and people start feeling incompetent, we go into that, again, institutional illness debate. I think we should have a wellness debate. And a wellness debate is about how can we support you to stay active, to stay engaged, for as long as possible. But when that role reversal happens and adults become the children and children become the parents, and we know about that transactional analysis, when you start speaking to your parent as if your parent is a child and your parent then starts reacting like a child and you go back into parent mode, that's just a disaster waiting to happen, and it usually happens over Christmas. So let's, for Christmas, just, you know, have the turkey and drink enough. It's about an adult-adult conversation. How do you wish to be, and how can I support you to be that? But write it down. Dignity SA, if you go onto their website, there's a wonderful template for an advance directive. You can draw it off their website. And as I say, it's not for when, you know, the proverbial pawpaw has hit the fan. It's for now. It's for communicating now. And also, I think older people should really become activists. Mm. I know they come from the era of burning the bras. Now it's about burning the Zimmer frames. You know, let's just not fall into the stigmatization. Let's not take on this ageist, I almost said a swear word, nonsense that because you're old, you're stupid. Because you're 65, you know, you're retarded.
Yeah. We'll decide when you can stop driving. Yeah.
Yep. Older people should become activists and really take charge of their lives in consultation with those who care for them and can support them. Otherwise, it is a matter of act or be acted upon. Mm. And when society starts acting upon older people, that's when we see them decline.
Mm. And they become difficult residents.
Exactly. They become labeled. They become labeled as difficult residents, blah, blah, blah. It is because they are so disempowered. If we have the conversation, and we have the conversation about wellness, not about what's wrong with you, but what's right with you, how do you wish to be? Mm. What are your dreams? Then we start seeing how older... We actually physically see how they walk better.
Mm.
But when there's the illness debate, people fall into that stigmatization, that ageist stigmatization of, I'm old, I'm decrepit, I can't even walk up straight. But when someone engages with you about your sense of connectedness and your security and what gives meaning and where is your growth and your joy, then you start seeing that people actually age differently. And that is a scientific fact. If you look at the research of the impact of the environment on older people, on their state of mind, on their nutritional status, on their physical gait, it is incredible to see how people can age as opposed to that institutionalization of just becoming decrepit.
So, listeners, we really have given you a lot of food for thought today, and I think this time of the year, as Raynal said, it's not the right time to have the conversation, but it's possibly the right time to start doing some reflection. So you, as people who will be the people in 5, 10, 15, 20 years that are in these facilities or homes, as we like to refer them, what do you want? And it's not something you can decide in 2 minutes. And there is no deadline. You don't have to do this by next week, Friday. But start reflecting. Start thinking about it. Start talking about it. Start having the conversation with your spouse, your loved ones, gently. It's not a conversation you can do over one Sunday lunch and sign on the dotted line and it's done. It's a journey. And how are you going to have the best possible journey to enjoy the rest of your life with dignity, and despite whatever ailments come your way, how can your family and the carers that are there to look after you give you the best possible care, and start having the conversation about you know, where you want to go, where you would like to live,
and how you would wish to be.
Yeah,
you know, it's not about doing; it's about being. And stop beating yourself up about the fact that you're old. You know, it's afforded few. So it's about reflecting, as Calvin says, but not reflecting on what I haven't done, what I should have done, and maybe I should have been a better husband or wife. Too late. Okay, get over yourself. Start reflecting on your own well-being. Start really, and I said this is not a religion, but start counting your blessings. Start with gratitude. You know that if you start keeping a gratitude journal, you can actually permanently change the chemical structure in your brain, because your brain will start looking for it. Stop watching the news. You can listen to radio today, but don't listen to the news. Stop reading the newspaper. Okay, it's not going to change your life. Start focusing on gratitude and your own well-being, and you will age differently. And start demanding a different view from the world.
Absolutely. And as we always say to residents, if you've been an avid gardener all your life, you may not be able to mow the lawn, but you can still go outside and smell the roses. So don't give up on those things. And we always, as Rona said, is that you've got to become the activist for your own life and for those of your fellow elderly folk. So if people say to you, you can't, show them that you can. On that note, listeners, we are almost at the end of our show. So thank you for joining us yet again on Radio Today, 60 Plus. Raynal, thank you for your inspiration, your motivation. And I am very positive that we've changed the thinking of a lot of our listeners. And we have hopefully planted the seed for the next generation of residents. They're going to come in motivated, inspired, and living a great life in care facilities as opposed to being burdens in institutions.
I will live it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, be blessed, be well. We'll see you again next week on 60 Plus. Have a good week.